Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of our end-of-year specials from the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, and we've gone through all sorts of different categories, and we have three more for you today. Best idea, worst idea, and boldest tactic, for the most part, politically speaking, in the year 2012. And Jim, let's accentuate the positive to begin. The best idea.
A couple of these times I've looked back to what I just said last year and kind of say, well, give myself credit or downgrading myself for erroneous predictions and suggestions. Well, last year, I want to point out, I was totally, totally wrong. My assessment of last year was, quote, I see a lot of potential problems, but I'm just going to say that on the whole, the Arab Spring can be a good thing. More uprisings in Syria, more uprisings in Iran. I think the Arab Spring has been at best a very mixed bag for the United States and our national security, and I think there's been a lot of very lot of negative consequences for our security. And you can look at Benghazi as part of that, the unrest in Egypt, you know, attacking our embassy and stuff like that. So bad prediction last time. What I think is a good idea, and I think it's one that's kind of it's not fully cooked yet. But look, since a very very depressing, very surprisingly negative response on Election Day. You're hearing a lot of folks on the right say it's time for us to retake the culture. We've been fighting in the realm of politics, and we need to fight in the realm of culture. Some attribute it to Hollywood. Some attribute it to kind of just the all over the mass media spectrum. Daytime talk shows and video games and people get their ideas from all kinds of places, and we've tried to fight this only in the realm of politics. I love the idea. I'm not quite sure how we do it, and I think we're probably going to end up with a lot of very bad ideas coming out of it. Having said that, if we have 100 conservative ideas to quote-unquote retake the culture or to energize people outside the realm of politics and to spread the idea of the values of free markets and the importance of a strong national security and the idea of trying to be a good role model for your kids and all that stuff, if we get three good ideas out of it, we're three good ideas ahead of the game of where we were at this point. So I think the idea of necessity being the mother of invention, I think sometime in a year from now or 2 years from now, we're going to look back and say, aha, because of that terrible defeat, we saw this X conservative cultural force come along, and people are very enthused about it. So I see great potential in these efforts, even though at this point, I think everybody's right now at the drawing board and kind of brainstorming and looking for what that next hot, ingenious, persuasive idea is going to be.
Excellent choice. And one of those things that we need, I think, is creativity and originality, and especially to use that to point out perhaps where problems exist when other people claim they don't exist. And that goes right into my best idea of the year. It's not some grand political sweeping ideology. It's the work of Project Veritas and their videos showing that voter fraud is very easy to commit. Whether you use the name of a dead person, whether you even try to pick up the ballot and succeed of the Attorney General of the United States due to a lack of voter ID laws and photo IDs being necessary. This, of course, is all as a result of the Justice Department fighting back against these states that wanted to use photo ID, saying it was somehow racially prejudicial, was against poor people. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was talking about the reinstitution of Jim Crow as a result of all this. And so all Project Veritas did is send people into the polling place, say, do you have a, not even claiming to be the person, and they'll say, yep, there you are, here's your ballot, and then they'll skedaddle by saying, oh, I really wish I had my ID so I could prove to you who I am, and they never come back. So they're not breaking any laws, but they prove over and over and over and over again how easy this is to do, and yet the mainstream media and the Justice Department just bury their heads in the sand, even though you need an ID to get in the Justice Department. So apparently that's more precious than protecting the right to vote. So Project Veritas, James O'Keefe and his crew, well done this year. We'll see if more progress happens in some of these states.
I completely concur, Greg. I was going to say that anytime you can make a serious point in a way that is kind of entertaining and funny, and the country's like, oh my God, you got to go see this. And you start forwarding it to all of your friends. That's when you know you've got lightning in a bottle. And so, kudos to James O'Keefe for that.
All right, less fun now. The worst idea of 2012.
So many contenders in this category. And so I kind of, it's not quite a cop-out, but I'm taking a very broad brush with this. I'm going to say basically the entire philosophy of the Obama campaign in 2012, dividing the electorate into a bunch of little subgroups And then basically running your campaign on here's what government's going to do for you in each one of those subgroups. I think it was probably best illustrated by the Julia slideshow. I think a terrible idea. I think it's terrible for the country. I think it encourages a bad way of thinking amongst our electorate. This is a long, long way from ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. It facilitates the idea of government as Santa Claus, the idea that, you know, for this group, we're going to give this benefit, and this group, we're going to give that, and that you should be voting for, you know, which politician will give you more stuff, I think is a very bad idea. I think it facilitates dependency, and I think it this is really the big foe. This is really this sense of, you could argue it's entitlement, you could argue it's the idea that the government's job is to take care of you. And your purpose in life is to be a ward of the state is what we're up against. And we need the problem is it's very appealing. People like the idea of government taking care of them. They like the idea of government taking care of things so they don't have to worry about them. And, you know, independence and you know, being self-sufficient and hard work, this is not inherently appealing. And so we need to figure out a way to counter this. And I think we, you know, a lot of folks on the right really got kicked in the teeth on this. And I think we were very depressed to find that this philosophy was much more appealing than we thought it was. And, you know, it's going to be one of the great challenges for the right to take on for the next, really, next 4 years. And who knows for how long. Perhaps, you know, for as long as we're all alive, we'll be fighting this mentality.
Yeah, it was completely nauseating, very un-American. And sadly, as you point out, it worked. So it might not have been a bad political idea for them, but it's a very bad idea for, you know, leading America to where it needs to be and where it certainly was in terms of what has made this country great, because that is not where this administration is leading. I also had many more nominees in this category than I did for the best idea, sadly. And I knew it would take something really big to trump Todd Akin's decision to stay in the Missouri Senate race. And sadly, there was something that trumped that. John Roberts deciding that Obamacare is a tax and, you know, going through all the motions on the Commerce Clause and all sorts of other things. But ultimately, as it turns out, flipping his vote could very well be because of the public pressure of the administration. And if that's the case, that's even more pathetic and depressing. But his tortured explanation that this is a tax, even though the administration claimed over and over and over and over and over again that this was not a tax, trying to find any way to justify not striking down this massive piece of legislation when he should have just let the Constitution be his guide and then it would have been struck down. So John Roberts' tortured defense and ratification of Obamacare is the worst idea for me in 2012.
That was a great selection. I guess I want to make one kind of addendum to my good idea. The music video, Whatever Happened to the John Roberts I Used to Know, sung to the tune of Gotye Is Somebody I Used to Know, was probably one of the better ideas, but a really good way of responding to it. Because, like, who, John Roberts, I don't even know you anymore, okay? Who are you?
Way to go, Chief Justice Roberts. Way to go. All right, Jim, boldest tactic.
You know, it obviously in a year where things did not go well for the right, it's a little tougher to find this, but I found something kind of interesting. Not long ago, the New York Times had mentioned the success that Republicans had at the state legislative level. We know the Republicans have 30 governorships right now. What you may not know is that they also have complete control of 27 state legislatures, including places like Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. And we saw the efforts in Wisconsin under Scott Walker. We just saw earlier this month the fight in Michigan. So some of this is, you know, shows that, wait a minute, as bad as things are at the presidential level and how frustrating it was to see Romney defeated by Obama, well, clearly we're doing something right, because at the level closest to themselves, Republicans are still doing pretty darn well. And some of this goes to credit to the Republican State Legislative Committee. Ed Gillespie, the former RNC chair, is helping out there. And some of this is the recognition that, like, Republicans realize that if you control a state legislature, you can, you know, shape policy in that state pretty well. And maybe because it's not as high profile, it may not be as glamorous. But these are races where you can make a very big difference. And this is, you know, you see folks on the left tearing their hair out about this, that they, as much as they won the presidency, and we will be seeing the consequences of that for the next 4 years, all of their desires to get what they want are going to have into all kinds of frustration and watching state legislature after state legislature refuse to enact parts of Obamacare, for example, that we're seeing, you know, an interesting level of grassroots opposition gumming up the works to the liberal agenda because they really haven't paid attention to state legislative races. And, you know, as much as we would have liked to have won the presidency, it is good to know that there are Republican groups and groups on the right that are paying attention to this and winning some of these fights that, you know, really are helpful to win when it comes to enacting your agenda and preventing the worst ideas of the other guy's agenda.
Absolutely right. And some of these legislative election results in 2010 paved the way to some, let's just say, more favorable federal congressional maps that helped the Republicans keep the majority in the House, because if that hadn't happened, we'd be right back where we were, at least close to it, from the first 2 years of the Obama administration heading into the second term, and nobody wants that. So, yeah, from both the state level and the national level, success for conservatives at the state level has been absolutely critical. Mine actually piggybacks on one that you had a few days ago, Jim, and that is Mitt Romney's choice of Paul Ryan. When we were speculating about possible running mates, most people were talking about the double vanilla strategy of Mitt Romney and Rob Portman, Mitt Romney and Tim Pawlenty. They just thought he was going to play it safe, just keep the cards close to the vest, not risk anything really in the debate on policy, and just hope that the economy is enough of an issue to defeat President Obama. Ultimately, it wasn't enough to pick Paul Ryan. But as you pointed out, when you named Paul Ryan the most honest political figure of 2012, Mitt Romney was not afraid of this debate. He welcomed it. He brought on entitlement reform. It, from everything we saw, that did not cost them the election, despite what we just mentioned a little while ago about Julia and government providing for people. That message seemed to work on some level, but not so much with the issues that Democrats have always hammered Paul Ryan on. So when he could have played it safe, he went bold, and we knew there was going to be a campaign at that point of big ideas. And while it wasn't the greatest run campaign of all time, Mitt Romney did make it about bigger issues and bigger themes and bigger ideas than he certainly could have, and a lot of people expected him to. And even though it didn't pan out in the end, I don't think this is what cost him, and he deserves credit for taking that chance.
That's a very good point, that Paul Ryan fits the definition of bold. And I think we can say that, you know, Rob Portman, some of the other names probably don't fit the definition of bold, which is to say they're fine, you know, lawmakers and candidates and such. But yes, you know, I think there was that Paul Ryan probably was the boldest move of the entire Romney campaign the entire time.
We will have more expert analysis and awards for you in the next edition of this special year-end series on the Three Martini Lunch. Jim, we'll talk to you then.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us on this special year-end edition of the Three Martini Lunch, and we'll have another one for you tomorrow. So please join us then for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.